The theme of our conference this morning is changing methods in a changing world for a changeless message. Anthony Norris Groves has been called the inspiration and the initiator of the tremendous missionary outreach of our assemblies. When he and his family left the shores of England for Baghdad 152 years ago, the journey took them 6 months. Today, the same distance can be covered in a matter of hours. Jet travel has brought our world closer together. But our modern world is bigger and faster in many ways. And the need for the gospel is bigger, and the opportunities for meeting the need are coming faster. This has demanded the changing, not of the message, but the message used to proclaim it. The message preached today is the same message preached by Mr. Groves in Baghdad in India, and is the same message the Apostle Paul was eager to preach at Rome also. But the radio, literature, medicine, education, and social welfare have all thrown out their challenge to the missionary, and all have been taken into consideration in assessing changing methods in a changing world for the changeless message. We're very happy to have as our first speaker this morning our brother Ian Rathe from the Dominican Republic. Our brother Rathe hardly needs any introduction to the saints here. He first was commended to full-time work in the Dominican Republic in 1932, and then his beloved wife Dorothy was commended 3 years later and served faithfully until her home call in 1976. Our brother is still serving faithfully there and has been connected over the years with the Bible Press in Santo Domingo. We're very happy to have our brother Rathe here this morning. Brother Rathe.
I'm very happy to be here this morning. And the message this morning is the unchanging commission. Shall we read just two portions? Matthew chapter 28, the well-known commission which God, the Lord, our God, has given us. Chapter 28 of Matthew, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Also, Acts chapter 16, just two verses. Acts chapter 16, verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. I think we might say that one outstanding characteristic of the world today is confusion. I believe the word confirms this when it speaks about distress of nations and perplexity. That's the word, confusion. I suppose you've all heard about the college student who went around with a big K on his shirt. And someone asked him why he was wearing this big letter K. And he said, why? Because I'm confused. And they said to him, well, confused isn't spelt with a K. He said, well, that just shows how confused I am. And I wonder if we're not really confused with the letter K today as we behold the changing conditions in the world. But there's no confusion about our commission. It's unvarying and invariable. The great commission which the Lord has given us to the end of the age, or unto every creature here. The Apostle Paul had a crisis experience. No doubt it was a crisis also in the history of the gospel. In a night vision, he saw a man of Macedonia beckoning to him and calling, come over and help us. The man that was beckoning would be a man of Greece, Macedonia. And Greece, with its great culture, its advanced art, and its material progress, needed something more. And the man of Macedonia was calling on the Apostle Paul and Silas to go and give them what they needed. Now, we have other men beckoning today. What about the man of the Arab world? The man that represents the Arab world with its black gold, I believe they call it, and the resurgent Mohammedanism. And then besides that, we have not only the man of the Arab world, but the man of the Asian world. And they have a great deal of advancement today. They have new technologies and new industries and great material progress, but they still need something more. And we have the man of the Latin American world. And there we think of their refined culture and also their material progress. And so we think of the need of the Latin Americans today. The souls of these men are moved with longings for peace and longings for God, longings for eternal values, for spiritual things. And this is what the gospel gives them. Now, they say that Wilbur Chapman, the great evangelist, was standing on a cliff when he was a young man, and he saw a wrecked ship below him in the ocean. There's one man left on board the ship. And finally, this one man that was left was swept into the waters by waves that were breaking over that ship. And so, as he went into the waters and went down below the waters, Chapman heard the words, lost, 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 3 times repeated. And they say that that was the word of God speaking to Chapman, so that he became the great seeker of souls, the great evangelist which he became later. Now, surely the conditions of the world today are an inarticulate cry to us. Come over and help us. Just think of the conditions of the world as we read of them in our newspapers. Why, may God help us to hear and see with anointed eyes, and help us to give the reply, like Paul and Silas. Immediately, we endeavored to go. And so, friends, may I say once again, there is a clear commission for each one of us as believers. In all its simplicity, it's the Spirit of God speaking to our hearts. Now notice the prologue. First of all, the Lord says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. This is a fundamental basis for our going forth. In heaven and in earth. If it were only on earth, why, the Lord would be no more than a conqueror, an earthly conqueror. If it were only in heaven, what about those of us who are preaching the word? Would there be power to save and deliver men from the powers of darkness? No, he's Lord with all power in heaven and in earth. And so we have the blessed presence of our Lord and the blessed power of our Lord with us day by day, as is told us in this great commission. And as we go forth, there is power to save and deliver drunkards and demon-possessed, drug addicts and harlots, as well as those boastful, proud Pharisees that feel no need of anything beyond themselves. And so we have this blessed message with its great power. The Apostle Paul says, the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. Another translation has it, how tremendous is the power available to us who believe in God. How tremendous the power. It's not in us, but it's in the message, in the word, in the gospel, which is his dynamite unto salvation to everyone that believes. Time magazine, a secular magazine, news magazine, some time ago, had these words. The good news of man's salvation through Christ remains the most truly revolutionary force in the world. Again and again, it has proved immeasurably greater than what history calls revolutions, be they of the mind, the sword, or of the machine. Yes, friends, even secular magazines have to recognize the power of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. On our 50th anniversary down there in the Dominican Republic, one of the newspaper columnists in that land had this to say about the gospel. He said, the Bible believers constitute a small minority here, but it cannot be denied that with their conduct and activities, they are adding new dimensions to our national life. They are competent, kind, constructive. In times when evil and perversity, the criminal assault, and the senseless violence are taking hold of hearts and hands, it is edifying to put on record the existence of such islands of morality within our society. And so, friends, fellow believers, this morning, I'm glad to be able to say I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed to believe it as a man. I'm not ashamed to profess it as a Christian. I'm not ashamed to proclaim it as a witness. And I'm not ashamed to contend for it as a soldier of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has given us a message. Well, let us look briefly at these four imperatives. Go, make disciples, baptize, teach. First of all, someone has said that in order to go, we need three fundamental things. A revelation from above, the cry from beneath, and the impulse from within. And so we have then a demand for a review of the foundations of our faith. Do we have a divine Savior? God manifest in the flesh? Do we have a perfect, finished work to tell men and women about? Do we have a living Savior at the right hand of God, death vanquished, and the Lord interceding in the power of an endless life so that men may live for God and live for Christ? Why, I believe and I'm sure that we may. And friends, the disciples, the early people, the early apostles and so on in the early church, why, they were willing to give their lives. Witnesses became martyrs. Do we have a faith that's worth living for and worth dying for today? I'm sure you agree we do. And so, the second thing takes us to Luke chapter 16, the cry from beneath. You remember the rich man in the flames of hell, in torments, as the word tells us. And then he asked for two things, the most momentary and lightest relief from suffering in a drop of water. And the second thing was that a messenger be sent to his brothers. My friends, his brothers, the brothers of the rich man, are still with us today. They're still with us in their orgies. They say they have a playboy philosophy, and I heard recently that there's a playboy theology, if you please. The theology of the God of this world. The theology of hell. And so, we need to hear the cry from beneath. And then, the impulse from within. May the Lord give us. You remember the Apostle Paul said, "Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel." And Jeremiah had this fire within his bones that made it impossible to keep guilty silence. And so he had the impulse from within. May the Lord give it to us today. And then we have the word make disciples. I'm sure that you want me to speak frankly today and freely here. And there are so many making of professors, hands raised or heads counted in order to make, to send information and posting reports to the folks at home. Do we want professors or do we want possessors? Do we want real born-again converts? Why, I'm sure we want the latter, and that is make disciples. There's so much of the other thing today. A well-known organization went into one town nearby Santo Domingo City, a town of 20,000, and they came out of that town reporting 6,000 converts. We went to look, and sometime later it was hard even to find just a few of those who made even a profession of belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, we haven't got time to notice the rest of this wonderful commission. But we have the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ with us. This is a wonderful thing. God with us. And it's surely the glory of our service, and it's the fruit of our obedience, and it's the song of the worker. So may we go on, go forward with this melody in our hearts. The Lord is with us. Amen.